breaking down some mock drafts and some rumors surrounding the second overall pick and projected win totals for this upcoming season next on Command Fan. What's going on, Commanders fans, and welcome back to another episode of Command Fan. I'm your host, Tay Edwards, and in this episode, we're going to be going over some mock drafts from so-called experts, Mel Kiper's mock draft, Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, and then also PFF's mock draft as well. We're also going to be covering some of the rumors surrounding the second overall pick. There's a lot of rumors this time of year when the draft is so close. It's less than a month away. And some of the rumors are just really BS, and some you take with a grain of salt, but there's been a lot of traction on J.J. McCarthy's name surrounding the second overall pick and him potentially getting selected at number two. But today, I wanted to start off by Jaden Daniels' pro day. Today, he had his pro day. Now, I haven't been able to see many videos of his actual workout. I've seen a couple of snippets, but I haven't been able to see the whole thing. And whenever someone has a pro day, I can't really see too much of it. So I just got to go off of what people say and what the videos I do see and what I see out of them. But obviously, Jaden Daniels' biggest flaw was his weight, and see what he's going to weigh. And he didn't weigh in at the combine a lot, along with a lot of other quarterbacks that didn't, big name quarterbacks like Caleb Williams and Drake May. Jaden Daniels weighed in at 6'3", 210 pounds. And his weight, he was on it. He, after his pro day, after he worked out, he had an interview with Lewis Riddick on ESPN, and he asked him, what was the biggest thing that you were hearing about maybe a flaw of you or your game? And he said his weight, and that's all he said. So obviously, he made that a big point to bulk up and get to the best pot he could during his pro day, and he got to 210 pounds. If I'm not wrong, I think he was about 185 to 190 pounds during the season, and a lot of people were really critiquing that and looking at all the big hits that he's taken in college, especially last year at LSU. And in the NFL, you just can't do that at that weight. The way he plays the game, doesn't like to go down, doesn't like to slide, likes to use his athletic running ability on the field, and being 185-190 pounds is just not going to get it done in the NFL if you don't know how to slide. But 210 pounds and at 6'3 is good weight to me. I don't think anyone's got to worry about his weight. He's definitely taken that and used it as motivation, as I saw in that interview, because he's at 210 pounds now, which is a good weight for an NFL quarterback. I see some people in Twitter's comments under the interview that I saw, talking about how they'd like him to be a little bit more bulky, but I think that's a good way. He showed him some improvement that he's able to actually, bulk up. And then getting into his actual workout, from reports, multiple reports, he had four balls hit the ground. One was a drop, and then one that I saw was a deep ball over the middle of the field. He just overthrew his receiver. He definitely displayed his arm strength. Now, I'm going to take, not necessarily with a grain of salt, because obviously we all know what happened with Zach Wilson, his unbelievable throws when he had his pro day at BYU. So it's good to look good on your pro day. If you were to look bad on your pro day when it's all set up for you to succeed, then that would be very alarming, but it's not concerning that he didn't look good at his pro day, that he did look good. So pro days are like I said, set up for you to succeed at your university, where you feel comfortable around the guys that you like to throw to, coaches that you're comfortable with, managing the whole pro day. So, but it actually sounds like Jaden Daniels did guide and kind of just do the pro day how he wanted it, which is kind of unheard of as far as pro days go. So that's a good thing. That's a good sign of his character, his leadership around a group of men. So that was definitely a positive I heard off that interview as well. And then a little tweet that I saw, JP Finley, shout out to JP Finley. He had this video on Twitter where he was warming up. Jaden Daniels was warming up with the basketball and just doing his warm-up routine, I guess. And he was walking towards where he was going to go start working out. And Adam Peters was the only like GM or any coach to turn around and greet him before he went. And he just dapped him up. And JP said, important dap, which I agree. I think Adam Peters just being very personable with him and just being very comfortable around him. I think that's a good sign that if they want to draft him at two, they feel comfortable to do that, and so does Jaden Daniels. Obviously, you can read a little bit into that, as I kind of just did, but I think the little things like that, when you're at a pro day, I've never seen a GM do that before. So I think that was a good sign for me, especially because I'm a Jaden Daniels fan. So I liked seeing that. But yeah, like those kind of things are just little things that could mean absolutely nothing, but I think that could mean something with Jaden Daniels and Washington, with them having the second overall pick. I wanted just to say with the rumors, like they don't know who they're going to draft yet. Like they're still a little less than a month away from the draft being here in Washington, being on the clock. And I don't think they know yet. They still got to have all their top 30 visits. And Jaden Daniels obviously is a part of that. Drake May is as well. And Caleb Williams is too. But, I think if I were to say who they're going to draft today, I think it would be Jaden Daniels. And a lot of people think it's Drake May. A lot of people think it's Jaden Daniels. Some people still think we could trade down or even trade up with Chicago. I don't think a trade up is very likely at this point. Obviously, with Justin Fields being traded to Pittsburgh, so that means Chicago is definitely going to be drafting a quarterback. And at the annual owner and coaches meeting for the NFL that they do every offseason, Tom Pelissero, a reporter for NFL Network, did a little bit when he interviewed all the NFL coaches. I don't know if he interviewed all the GMs, but I know he did a large bunch of the NFL coaches. And Dan Quinn, he was talking to Dan Quinn, and he asked him about the draft and their ideas of trading down or what guys they like right now. Obviously, he's not going to give him too much information, but Dan Quinn did not trade down or did not shoot down the idea to trade down. So they've definitely been fielding offers. Obviously, if you are active on Twitter or on Instagram as well, you can see that they're fielding offers for the second overall pick. If there's a trade that they can not resist, then obviously they're going to pull the trigger. But I do not expect them to trade down or trade up. I think they're going to stay put. And that leads me to my next thing is, in my opinion, they are not drafting J.J. McCarthy number two. If they think J.J. McCarthy is their guy, they're going to trade down to maybe Arizona number four, so Arizona can move up and draft Marvin Harrison if they really want him. Obviously, I don't think they need a quarterback. They got Kyler Murray, but I think they're not drafting J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, I think his pro day, he did good. He had a good pro day. Jim Harbaugh saying that was the best pro day he's ever seen. I would beg to differ. I don't know. Jim Harbaugh obviously has a little bit of bias because he just got done coaching him. But J.J. McCarthy, I do not think is going to be Washington Commander at number two, at least. I don't think they're going to draft him with the second overall pick. And Adam Peters is just really smart with what he says when he gets interviewed. And I think he has everyone guessing, and anything can happen at this point. We really don't know what they really want to do yet. I don't think they know either, as I alluded to earlier. But I think they're in a great spot to do whatever they want, assuming Caleb Williams goes at one. And I think Adam Peters has just done a good job of not leaking their hand or saying or showing if they're bluffing or whatever. So let's move on to the mock drafts from Mel Kiper. First up is going to be Mel Kiper. And I'm just going to go over the quarterbacks. I'm not going to go over the full draft of his mock draft because there's going to be a bunch more that come out. So these ones are probably more likely wrong, but number one, Chicago, he has them taking Caleb Williams, which is expected. I don't think that number one pick is going to change at all from now until the draft. I think Chicago ends up taking Caleb Williams out of USC. And then number two, he has Washington taking Jaden Daniels. If I were the GM, if I were Adam Peters, that would be the decision I make to take Jaden Daniels. I think Drake May is a very raw prospect, kind of like Sam Howell, maybe a little bit better coming out of the draft than Sam Howell was. I think Jaden Daniels is more pro ready. I think he can move better. I think Drake May has a little bit of a better arm, but I like all the experience Jaden Daniels has under his belt in college, and his ability to move, which is something that Adam Peters alluded to, that he needs a quarterback that can move. And take a negative play and turn it into a positive play. And I think Jaden Daniels would be the pick for me. Will it be the second overall pick for Washington when that draft day comes? I don't know. Barring any major changes, I would hope that they'd take Jaden Daniels, but we shall see. At number three, New England. He doesn't have them trading out. He has them taking Drake May, which would be the right decision for me if I was a Patriots fan or the GM. I think Drake May is the third best quarterback in this class, and that's a good pickup for the Patriots to be able to develop a quarterback, really a fresh start. With New England moving on from Bill Belichick, they're arguably the greatest coach of all time. They released him, or fired him, if you want to say, and he's still actually looking for a job, but I think Drake May and whatever quarterback goes to New England is going to have more leeway and more of a chance to really prove it. So what I'm saying is a bigger timeline because of the new fresh start for New England. They're obviously moving on from the era where they were a powerhouse in the NFL. So I think Drake May could definitely strive in New England, especially if the first year or two does not go well. I think he'll have more of a chance to prove himself later in his year of his rookie contract to be able to prove himself and not be booted out. And then 11, Minnesota. He has Minnesota taking J.J. McCarthy. And J.J. McCarthy heads up to Minnesota where he has Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. See if that can work out for him. I think Bo Nix would be a really good fit for Minnesota. But Mel Kiper in his mock draft 3.0, if you guys want to go check that out on ESPN, has J.J. McCarthy at the 11th overall pick to Minnesota. At number 12, the Broncos. He has the Broncos taking Bo Nix, quarterback out of Oregon. He had a good pro day as well. Bo Nix, I'm a little bit more familiar with his game because I live in Utah, so I'm a diehard Utes fan. But Bo Nix shredded us. I was in Rice-Eccles for that game, and Bo Nix and the Oregon offense just shredded our defense, and I was very impressed by Bo Nix. I hope Bo Nix does very well. He's probably not going to end up a Washington Commander, but I think that would be a good fit in Denver, especially with Sean Payton wanting his quarterback, releasing Russell Wilson. So let's move on to Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft. You'll see a common theme of any mock draft, really, you'll see this offseason with Caleb Williams going number one to Chicago. So he has Caleb Williams going number one as well. At number two, Daniel Jeremiah has Washington selecting Drake May. I think it's going to be one or the other. I think Drake May or Jaden Daniels is going to be the pick for Washington, assuming, you know, not a huge shock to the world with Caleb Williams not going number one or Chicago trades out. But like I said before earlier in the podcast, I would take Jaden Daniels. I like him more as a prospect. I think he's not as raw as Drake May is. But Drake May for sure has a good arm. He has an NFL arm. He can still move well. He can't move as well as Jaden Daniels, but he still has good pocket mobility. I would just like to see him sit for a year or two. But obviously, when you're picking a quarterback in the top three, no matter what team you are, you want him to play right away. So Drake May two, and then Jaden Daniels three to New England. I think Drake May would be more of a fit just because I think he would have more leeway because on his name, everyone knows that there is more of a raw prospect in Drake May. So number four, he has the Minnesota Vikings trading up to pick four with the Arizona Cardinals to draft J.J. McCarthy. So that's back-to-back mock drafts where J.J. McCarthy is a Viking. And then as we scroll down, I think that was those were the only three quarterbacks taken in Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft. Which could definitely be possible. I think Bo Nix would definitely be another candidate to be taken in the first round, which I think personally will happen. I think he'll probably go to Minnesota or the Broncos. So then the last mock draft we'll move on to is Pro Football Focus's PFF's mock draft. They actually did a three-round mock draft, but I'll just read you off the first pick and the second pick in the second round for the Commanders. Caleb Williams goes number one to Chicago. Drake May again to Washington, number two. Jaden Daniels, three, and then PFF also has J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings at pick number four with the Vikings trading up with Carolina, or not Carolina, the Cardinals, pardon me. But yeah, so Drake May, is a common theme. I see a lot of mock drafts with Drake May, also with Jaden Daniels. So it's really a coin flip. We really don't know what's going to happen until they are on the clock and there's more things that come out during the draft. So now that we've covered pretty much all of the rumors and speculation in the mock drafts, personally, I can't wait for the draft to, because I don't really like reporting on rumors and mock drafts. I like reading them. Don't necessarily like talking about them, because obviously there's not a mock draft that's a perfect mock draft, or else everybody would make a mock draft and post about it. So now we're going to move on to strengths of schedule. This is kind of more speculation, just kind of betting stuff and just kind of fun stuff to look at as a fan. So strengths of schedule, the Commanders are at 11th in the league with a 500 strength of schedule. So not a very hard schedule, but not a very easy schedule, just right in the middle, like smacked up in the middle. No one else has a 500 strength of schedule in the league. The easiest strength of schedule in the league is the Falcons at 448, which is pretty similar to the Commanders. Obviously, there's going to be every team. There's always a lot of teams that surprise you and disappoint you in the league. So every year, so you got to take that with a grain of salt. You got to go week by week with the NFL, because anyone can beat anyone on any given Sunday. And then the over-under for the Commanders is at 7.5. If you guys listened to my Craig Hoffman interview, the latest episode that I did, he put them at 6.5 and 7.5, as would I. I would have probably put them at 6.5, but here the books have them at 7.5, and which is understandable. I think free agency definitely probably boosted that number up. One or two wins with free agency in their back pocket. With that being done, the Commanders having a great free agency, in my opinion. But and then based on the win totals, we are projected to finish third in the NFC East and 12th in the NFC. So the NFC standings, if the win totals were to be correct, would be San Francisco 1, Detroit 2, Dallas 3, Atlanta 4. So San Francisco wins the West, Detroit wins the North, Dallas would win the NFC East, and the Falcons, with their new quarterback Kirk Cousins, would win the NFC South. And then the wild cards would be number 5, the Philadelphia Eagles, number 6, the Packers, and number 7, the Bears. Then barely missing the playoffs would be the Rams and the Buccaneers at 8-9, and then New Orleans, Seattle, then there's Washington at number 12, and then Minnesota, Arizona, the Giants, and the Cardinals running out the NFC standings. Just to go over the opponents real quick, if you guys haven't seen them already, obviously the home and away opponents, we're going to have Dallas, New York, and then Philadelphia, and then another home opponent, we're going to have Chicago come to FedEx Field again. Actually, it's not called FedEx Field, Commanders Field. And then Carolina is going to come to Washington, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and the Titans. So we are going to have the AFC North come to Washington. And then the Steelers and the Browns, pardon me. And then obviously away is going to be our division opponents, the Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles. And then we go to Baltimore, New Orleans, Arizona, the Bengals, and the Buccaneers. So definitely, I like the schedule. I think it's got a good mixture of good games and then some winnable games. It's going to be some hard games against, like, the Ravens, the Bengals. We'll see how the Steelers shape out to be with Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. It depends on who they start. Obviously, all the division opponents are going to be tough. Giants have had our number lately, and we always seem to put up a good fight against Philadelphia. So, and then Dallas, we will see what happens with Dallas because they haven't done much in free agency. We'll see. It all is going to depend on the draft, see how the draft does. The draft has the biggest implications, obviously, for the Commanders, but also every team improves through the draft. So, I want to thank you guys so much for listening, and I cannot wait till the draft starts and the schedule release. Speaking of the opponents that we're facing, I don't know when the schedule release, it usually releases in May. So we'll see what the exact date is, but I'll be covering that as soon as it drops, going over predictions and everything. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Go follow me on Twitter, @CommandFan, and on Instagram as well. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening, and hail to the Commanders.